You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Do you think that the general perception that Zach Wilson is quote-unquote toxic?
You know, Zach, I feel badly about Zach. You know, last year would have been a first time he could just sit back and watch a master at work, and he's never had that.
I would ask questions to people I know, like, is Zach a bad guy? They're like, no, he's a good guy. He's just not one of the guys.
He's got the skill. He can do everything. There's a reason we drafted him at number two. I have confidence that he'll get there at some point.
You were the second overall pick after we had just failed with the third overall pick, which makes it even worse. And now we're putting all our eggs in 40-year-old baskets coming off an Achilles.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg on 98.7 ESPN.
Off and running here on a Tuesday, Dan and Rick, DNR, 98.7 ESPN, 800-919-3776. That is the telephone number. Talking Jets, talking the Woody Johnson comments that, hey, we're not, if we can't trade Zach Wilson, we're just not going to release him. And maybe the possibility that he's still on this team in 2024. Remember, Robert Saleh, Rick, was asked about the quarterback yesterday, and he said that's a question for Joe, meaning Joe Douglas. Here was Joe Douglas's answer about where things stood with Zach.
Yeah, there's been a lot of good discussions with his agent, and there's been some discussions with teams regarding a trade, but I've got no news or report. There's nothing close to being done on that front.
So just to recap, training camp, late July, you're putting what odds that Zach Wilson is still on this roster?
Oh,
I mean, I say 50-50.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I mean, I'd have to agree with you, unless, like I said earlier, that just this is Woody's kind of last ditch. Like, hey, just so the league knows, we're not releasing him. If we can't trade him, then he'll get an opportunity to do what he was supposed to do last year, which is sit back and watch.
And remember, guys, this isn't necessarily just being stubborn or anything like that. There are financial ramifications to
this. Right, the money's still going to be in your
books. Because
of
the cap, right. But it's worse if you just release him as opposed to trading him. That's, you know, $11 million in change as far as a dead cap hit, which is what the Jets do not want to entertain by any circumstances. So they're going to try to find a dance partner, and if they can't, he's going to be on the squad come training camp.
Well, you're paying him anyway, so.
And remember that was
just the risk you run is that, God forbid, no, Aaron goes down, and then Zach's sitting there as the third, as the, you know, backup now to Tyrod, and Tyrod gets hurt.
And the shame of it all is, remember, this was supposed to be, and part of the decision that went into drafting him was resetting the clock.
Yep. Then you wasted it.
And you wasted it, because he had 3 years to do something, and what did they max out at? 7 wins in those 3 years?
Yeah, dude, I'm telling you, man, like, and I get it's not easy. There's always the temptation because of how high you draft these kids is, let's put them in there. And if they struggle, that's fine, because at least they're learning on the job. And then in year two, they'll make that jump. That's not always the case, man.
No.
It isn't.
It has to be a unique situation. But they elected at the time, remember, they had rookie head coach, rookie quarterback, rookie offensive coordinator. They went all in on the baby movement, and it just didn't work out.
Yeah, why not? If you want to go all in with the baby movement with the head coach and the offensive coordinator, why not have like a veteran quarterback? Right. And then as the team sees, well, see, that's the thing I liked about how Andy Reid did it. And I know there's not a lot of Andy Reids, right? Andy Reid's Andy Reid for a reason. They also had, they had a playoff team with Alex Smith. But, Canty and I were doing the show together, and, Canty would talk to a lot of people around the NFL, and the people that I spoke to were like, dude, you should see what this Patrick Mahomes is doing in practice. Like, he can do things that have the guys on his team like, why is this kid not playing? That, like, the fact that a team like that was able to, watch Alex Smith every day, and Alex Smith's a good quarterback, but then see this young kid that's able to do things that Alex Smith could never do in his wildest dreams, it was almost like they were the ones kind of pushing, like, hey, Alex is good, but we could be better with Patrick Mahomes as opposed to, here you go, kid, here's the job. And because all these guys want to win, man, especially in the NFL. You can't start wasting seasons. You watch this kid who's given the job, right, didn't have to earn it, and then he struggles, and it's like, if you're one of the guys on the team, and then on top of it, he's not taking any accountability for the struggles.
Right.
Of course that would make you upset as right. one of his teammates.
And remember, and you know, to Kansas City's credit, remember, they traded up to get Patrick Mahomes. They identified the guy. They said, we need to go get him. They made the move. And remember, knowing full well he was going to sit for a year. He sat right. that whole first year because they had Alex Smith. And, you know, give the former GM, by the way, let's not forget John Dorsey, because he was the guy who was steadfast in, you know, about Mahomes and his ability and his talent, because a lot of people questioned it. Like, was it really worth going up to get this guy? And, you know, he stuck to his guns, got the guy, and, you know, he gets some pats on the back for that, for everything that Patrick Mahomes has done and then what the Chiefs have become. Over the last several years. All right, let's get to some phones. People want to weigh in on the Jets situation here. Phil and Bethpage, we're going to start it off with him on 98.7 ESPN. Good morning, Phil.
Hey, good morning, guys. I want to say I'm looking forward to May 2nd. Dan, are you going to be there as well?
I do not know yet. This was just put on my radar yesterday.
He's going to be there. We'll get him a beautiful parking spot. He can take a picture of it, and he'll be there.
Awesome.
I need the best parking spot. You know that, though. If I'm going, not just a parking spot.
We'll put you right next to Steve Cohen. Right up
that's
front.
What. By the way, Steve Cohen at the Knick game last night. He was. Did you see that, Ray? I forgot to tell you that I spotted him. Steve was sitting there courtside, and he was wearing that big obnoxious orange Mets spring training hat. So he stuck out like a sore thumb.
Got to tell you, I didn't even notice him, but then I wasn't looking for him.
Yeah,
you know, this is celebrities all over the place.
Right. Well, why don't they put Steve Cohen when they like do the rundown of celebrities, like they on MSG or whatever? Like he should be on the list.
I don't think he wants to be a celebrity. He owns the Mets.
He's got no choice.
No, he owns the Mets. He yeah, exactly.
He's got no choice. All right, Phil, go ahead.
Anyway, guys, I appreciate it. So I heard you guys talk about Zach Wilson this morning, and to me, and I think I speak for most Jets fans as a season ticket holder, he cannot be on the team next year. It made me want to wait to training camp, trade him afterwards, but he cannot be. The biggest nightmare, and you guys kind of hit on it a little bit, is that he comes in and he plays if Aaron Rodgers gets hurt and Tyrod gets hurt, he's going to be playing, and you know it's going to be like a primetime game, and it's going to be against the Dolphins, the Bills, and here's Zach Wilson again, and we're forced to believe, and every Jets fan doesn't want to believe in that. They had a chance to trade him last season, and they didn't want to do it. They could have done it. They could have brought a real backup in, and they didn't. They didn't do it. And now we're going through the same mistakes over again. Trade him for a bag of balls if we have to. He cannot be on this team. He's not a guy's guy. Everything you talked about, he just doesn't have it here. Please, why are we going through this potential nightmare again? It's not fair to the fans, guys. Come on. Let it go, Woody Johnson. Thing frozen. Let it go, guys. Come on.
Phil, appreciate the call. Rick, I think that Phil speaks for a lot of Jet fans. I just think that's how they feel. Because, look, even if that scenario plays itself out, training camp happens. Hell, maybe even we begin the preseason and Zach is still on this roster. You know as well as I do. All those preseason games, the local broadcast, the cameras are going to be zeroing in on Zach Wilson on the sidelines. Hell, he's probably going to play if it's a preseason game, and that's all they're going to talk about is this guy, former number two overall pick. He's had 9 lives here. You thought that he's going to be gone. He's not gone. Now he's here. Now he's playing. That will drive Jet fans through the you-know-what.
Yeah, I don't think Jets fans want him to be any number of injuries away from actually seeing the field as a Jet. Like, they don't even want that to be a possibility. The worst part of this whole thing is, like, in an effort last year to kind of see if he could play or couldn't play, you actually probably hurt his trade value here as we move forward. Right? Like, I mean, if he sits last season, doesn't play,
mm-hmm.
you don't see him at all, and now it's like, okay, what are we going to do with him? Like, he's not going to play here. Aaron's just committed to, you know, next year and the year after that. Like, we could trade him. Like, maybe at that point, it's like, well, you know, it is the Jets. They don't develop quarterbacks well. Like, maybe there's more of an appetite because you haven't seen enough of it yet that, yeah, we could fix him. But now that you've seen another full season of it, maybe there's a lot of people going, yeah, maybe this kid just doesn't have it.
Well, and there was also some drama last year, too, late in the season, right? Because you had that whole, like, when the thing came out with The Athletic about, they approached him to go back in, and he didn't want to, he was reluctant. And ironically enough, then the following week he had to play, he played, and he was the AFC Offensive Player of the Week that game against the Houston Texans in the rain. And then he goes down to Miami the next week and then gets killed and can't finish the game with the concussions because he got sacked seven times or whatever it was in a quarter and a half. So there's always a layer to the story, unfortunately. Yeah, we know that he could benefit from a fresh start, but I just wonder, with all the things that have transpired over the last couple of years, not even on the football field, is that also scaring some teams away from even rolling the dice on a guy who would be nothing more than a backup?
Right, and I think that, I mean, especially here, right? Like, there's a lot of quarterbacks, like Cam Newton would always say this, like, the reason why he's not on a team is because you bring him in up as the backup is too much of a distraction. It was the, you know, it was the excuse a lot of people, I think it's probably the way RG3 feels, that these, you know, high-profile quarterbacks come in and they're bringing with them the distraction of, you know, if the quarterback struggles, if the starting quarterback struggles, you'll have, you know, a percentage of the fan base that's screaming and yelling, hey, we want Cam Newton or we want Colin Kaepernick, right? Like, so here he's a bit of a distraction and he's divisive with the fan base. So, yeah, I mean, I think listen, at the end of this, it's in the best interest of the Jets and it's the best interest of Zach Wilson for him to be somewhere else. It's just trying to find a team to do that because you're 100% right. Like, I mean, if they release him before June 1st, they're going to eat $11 million, as opposed to if they trade him, they're going to save, you know, almost $5.5 million on their cap if they find a trade partner.
And you know, just echo what you were saying a little while ago, too. Like, I, from my own standpoint, he's not a bad guy. You know, because I had those same conversations with a lot of guys. More so a couple of years ago when everything was kind of falling apart and, you know, it became a Mike White room. You know, I asked several players, bad guy? But no, nobody ever said he's a bad guy. I think that coming from where he came from, and obviously he was, you know, on the younger side of that locker room, I think that it took him a while to maybe fit in and feel comfortable in that room, especially as somebody who's the leader or supposed to be the leader on the field as the quarterback. I think it took him a while to maybe learn his place or to assert himself to where he's the leader on the field and off the field. But as I said, there was a shift last year. I saw a guy, just even from his own body language in the locker room, somebody who was a lot more comfortable in his own skin, just even interacting with his teammates, the veterans, who some of them were even 10 years older than he was. You know, guys that had families and wives and kids and everything. That's a difficult bridge to kind of curb a little bit. And I think it took him a few years to be able to get comfortable in that role. Now, unfortunately for him also, the on-the-field part never caught up to it. And I think that when you combine all that stuff together and you throw it in the blender, you have the situation now to where the fan base just wants nothing to do with him.
Right, but I think the reason why you saw that shift in his personality last year was because of Aaron.
Like, yeah, but Aaron, here's the thing, though.
No, hold on. Let me finish what I'm saying, though. It's, and this is the benefit, because I went through this. This is the benefit of having, and why he would have benefited in year one, having a veteran quarterback. Because they create a relationship, right? Because they're always together, quarterback rooms and everything else. And I think Aaron, this is Aaron's personality too, to really make sure he goes out of his way. You saw the relationship with Mekhi Becton, to take a personal interest in everybody. Like, that's how he does it. That's how he creates the relationships. But I got the sense that Zach was able to be himself around Aaron. And if Zach can act a certain way around Aaron, that is kind of the bridge to the rest of the veterans. Like, if he's good with Aaron, he's good with us. For me, it was, I mentioned Steve Webb, or it was Gar Snow, right? Like, I could be myself with those guys, and because they were already well-respected veterans, they brought me into that group with the other veterans, right? Like, they co-signed on me. So now I was kind of, I naturally became one of the guys. He didn't have that in year one. He didn't. He was saying, right. It's probably not fair when you're being, you know, being handed the starting job and you're not necessarily comfortable being a leader, or, you know, how you deal with veterans and gaining their respect.
Even Sam Darnold had Josh McCown that first year.
Right, and there's a reason why Josh McCown's still a quarterback's coach, because of how well he works with young quarterbacks. But there's things you need to learn that you don't know. And until you have, you know, the right support staff around you to kind of teach you, it's not easy to do, especially at the quarterback position.
And the problem with that, okay, like you said, the relationship with Aaron and everything, what happened when he needed Aaron the most, when he had to go play? Aaron wasn't around.
Yeah, right.
He wasn't around.
The Achilles.
You know what I mean? Like, he wasn't there. He wasn't at the facility. He was rehabbing out west. So Zoom calls and texts and phone calls and all those things, that can only do so much. You know, but Aaron was not a physical presence through that season when the struggles were at their greatest. You know, and I don't know if one had anything to do with the other. Aaron would parade in, and he would go to the game on Sunday, and then that was it. Then he'd fly back to the West Coast, and he'd be doing his rehab during the week. But he wasn't a steady presence until, what, after Thanksgiving? when he showed up, you know, and at that point already, there was a pile of soot on the ground, if you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I got to tell you, man, that was probably one of the most influential things that I had when I was playing, was to have someone. I had really good goalie partners, Snowy being at the top of that list, but just having someone that sees it the way that you've seen it, you know, that you see it. Was that a good goal? Was that a bad goal? You know, here's what you should be listening to. Like, yeah, don't worry about it. You know, if the coach says something nasty or is critical to you, like, hey, listen, don't worry about it, and kind of explain it to you. Like, that's invaluable stuff that as a young kid you need. You have to have it, and he hasn't had that. And, you know, hopefully wherever he ends up, he's going to have, you know, a coach and some kind of veteran presence around him that can help him out.
Keep your eye on Denver. From superchargers, exhaust kits, and more, eBay Motors has over 122 million parts to keep your ride or die alive. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to bring home that win. So keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
How much sleep did you get last night, Raymond?
Not a lot. Not a lot.
You might have got more than I did, as a matter of fact.
I doubt that very much.
Right, what were you doing that you didn't get sleep?
Who?
You. You have no kids.
I did the same thing that he did last night.
A palatial estate. Yeah, I mean, you don't even know how many rooms you have in your home.
I did the same thing he did. Did the game. Knicks.
Yeah, we all did the same
thing. Here was my fatal flaw last night. And I thought I would pass out like a rock because it's the second day getting into this routine of waking up early. The nap was too long in the afternoon. That's one. And I made the mistake just to be able to get through the Knicks game last night. I went with the coffee.
I mean, what's wrong with you?
Look, I was trying to get through the game.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean,
trying to get through the game.
No bueno. What time did you go to sleep last night? Midnight?
I tried to go to sleep before midnight. I went to bed, I think, at 11:30-ish. I think I went into bed finally. But what time did I actually fall asleep? Probably closer to like 2 o'clock.
Come on.
I swear to God.
Why don't you roll over and try to get something going, maybe? Get some energy out. That's a perfect opportunity. You're all hopped up on caffeine.
Now, that wasn't an option.
You probably put on a pretty good performance, too, I would bet.
What, for the game?
No, I'm not for the game. No. I mean, you got a big Knicks win. You got Dante 11 threes. You're all hopped up on caffeine.
I didn't have a trifecta in me last night.
The perfect aphrodisiac.
No, I didn't have it. No, I honestly, I wanted to get some sleep.
Well, you didn't, though. That's what I'm saying. Now you got to make a decision in your mind. I'm not going to go to sleep. Maybe you wake up the wife and say, hey, honey, you know what would be nice right now? A little bit of loving just to get me where I need to be because I got to wake up at 3:30.
No, because I was in a little bit of an ornery mood last night, too. Because of the fact that I wasn't tired and I couldn't go to sleep. Because I knew I had to perform. I know I had to be here today.
But you don't sound like you haven't had any sleep. You actually sound
great. No, weird thing. I feel really good. I know it's going to hit me at some point. And I even offered to get a meal going again today with the guys. But nobody's schedules are all lining up. Because, again, Ray and I got the game tonight, too. Rangers.
Well, Raymond works every night. I mean, the man is, he's an Iron Man.
Yeah, he really is. He's Tony Stark.
He really is. I don't know.
If I was Tony Stark, I wouldn't have to do this.
That's a good point. Also a great point, Raymond. But you love it. Stop it. You walk around that garden like you are.
I do love it. If I didn't love it, I'd be really questioning my own life choices. I kind of do anyway, but maybe more.
Well, now the payoff is coming too, right? Because you only got a handful of games left in the regular season. Then the money season starts in a few weeks. And then the real payoff is there for you.
Yeah, but you know, those playoff games are so much fun, man. But I've only had the chance to do a couple. But
right, because it's still a novelty for you. That's what's great about it.
I'm looking forward to them, man. Both teams.
Yeah, but the NHL playoffs, different level, dude. NHL, the best playoffs.
I got to tell you, there's nothing like the way that building's rocking. Like, well, in the lead up to a Rangers game when they hit Bob O'Reilly and they're about to hit the ice. It's so cool.
I got to tell you, it's going to be a giant wah, wah, wah if Julius doesn't come back for the playoffs.
Let me ask you a question right now. Still time to spare, but right now, what does your gut tell you? Both teams. Nick Ranger, which ones make it to the second round of their respective playoffs? One, both, or neither?
How
about that one?
That's a good question.
There you go.
Right now, I would say both.
I'm kind of with you.
Right now, I would say both.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Unfortunately for the Rangers, as we sit here today, the Rangers would be playing Tampa.
That's not good. That's no bueno.
Oh, no, excuse me. No, they wouldn't. They'd be playing the Capitals.
That changed? Washington.
Yes.
Okay, that's a bit more favorable.
That's favorable.
Yeah, but that changes every day, though.
I know, but that's why it's important. As we get down the stretch here, to make sure you try to finish with that best record in the East. I would not want to play Tampa in round one.
Right, the problem is the best record thing keeps changing. The wild cards keep changing.
Yeah, well, Tampa, it seems like Tampa's probably pretty much locked in here at the...
At least for the first wild card,
right. First wild card, yeah. And now we get the jockeying for the second. Right now, Washington's sitting there at 2 with 79 and...
And the only reason Washington and even all these other teams still have a pulse is because Detroit lost 17 in a row or whatever it was.
Oh, they lost Larkin, yeah.
Yeah.
And they went on a losing streak. But they're sitting there. Detroit right now is, they got 11 games left and they're a point behind Washington. Washington's got 12 games left.
I think you're getting both in. I mean, both into the second round at this point. And it would be, well, how about this? I'll ask you another question. And you can't ask, Steve Webb or Garth Snow for the answer. I need you to give me this answer.
Okay.
All right. Their veteran tutelage and wisdom that they provided to you has to come through right now.
Yep.
Which team would be a more disappointing
Rangers
premature exit?
Rangers.
Definitely the Rangers.
The Rangers.
Tend to agree.
They've been wall-to-wall first place in the Metro.
That's true. Franchise record for total days in first place in the season. You know, if they win tonight, they get 100 points. That'll be the second fewest games in franchise history for them to achieve 100 points.
That's right.
Read that right out of the game notes when I couldn't sleep last night. Decided to do some scouting.
You went into the game notes last night?
Dude, I was on the iPad.
Oh, my
God. I opened
up
the email. The game notes were there. And I said, all right, let me get a little look because I got to do the work for the game when I get home.
Shout out to Ben with the Rangers.
He's fantastic with that.
You might as well just bang it out. You can't sleep anyway.
No, but then you're disturbing other people. Reading the game notes, though, that's not an issue.
I didn't mean game notes.
I know what you meant, and that's why I said that wasn't going to happen.
You're a real professional, is what you are.
I try to be.
Use your time wisely. I like it.
By the way, speaking of time, did you know that the DNR pregame party is back? Show is heading out to Publicans again in Manhasset on Long Island on Thursday, May the 2nd, then riding the LIRR to Citi Field for the second annual pregame party ahead of Mets-Cubs before going into the game at 1:10 p.m. and sitting in section 129. That's Thursday, May the 2nd at Publicans in Manhasset, and then right to Citi Field. We will see you there. Where's 129, by the way? Do we have a...
That's third baseline.
Way out in the outfield?
No. Good seats. 129 is not bad at all. We're in primetime foul ball territory, I think.
You got the edge of the outfield grass, like right there, infield, outfield, range?
Yeah, I think right in that general vicinity over there. I think they're similar to where we were last year, and there were good seats.
It's probably not going to be a big crowd. I mean, it's still early in the season. It's a school day, Thursday, day game.
Yeah, Mets, but here's what I want. There's a reason why we tell you where we're sitting, because we want 129. We want all the sections in that area, all DNR show.
Should get them roped off.
Yeah, we had an awesome sing-along last year. It was great.
What was the sing-along to?
We sang along to Backstreet Boys.
It was Backstreet Boys.
Yep. Yeah.
The one that they played at the game, like they provided the music, or did you do it a cappella?
No, no. They provided it at the game.
It was karaoke. Oh, I got you. Okay.
You are my fire.
I didn't go to a Mets game last year.
No,
I did not step foot in the ballpark.
Because you stink.
Why do I stink? Why do you say that? Why do you say that?
You have so much time on your hands. You took how long was your nap yesterday? 4 hours?
No, it was 3 hours.
Yeah, great. What a life.
Because I didn't sleep the night before either.
Yeah, what a life.
What'd you do yesterday?
What did I do?
Yeah.
I took care of 3 kids is what I did.
What holes were they? Was that the 16th or the 18th?
There was no holes. There were no holes yesterday.
Really?
You wagon.
Interesting.
Let's go to some calls. What are you
sure about that?
You're very chatty today.
Now you want to shift the conversation to a different direction.
RJ, he does not want to take calls. You see how chatty he is today?
We should go back to the helicopter talk.
Yeah, what about the... Did you take the helicopter to the around yesterday?
I'm not the one with the mega mansion. No kids and want to buy a bigger house. He doesn't even use the rooms in his house now.
I have too much room, man. I don't have enough room.
Do you know how many rooms you have? Last time you were with us, you didn't know how many bedrooms you had.
Still TBD.
Oh, wow.
You know what
it is? How is that possible?
I accumulate... stuff.
You're a hoarder.
Fine. It's not the first time I've been called that.
Really?
Yeah.
So you have to keep,
because my wife wants me to throw out everything.
So you have to keep building. That's why you don't know how many bedrooms.
Like basically, it's like everything that I possess has a window to where like it has to leave, and usually it's like a 7-day window. It's like we can't keep it. Like just buy a car. No, it's got to be out of here in a week. It takes up too much room in the garage. Like it really, it's that bad. I can't keep anything.
Well, you clearly have too much stuff, though. Like, I mean, what are you hoarding? What are you collecting?
I don't have a lot of stuff.
Well, you've got to collect something. There's something
collecting something.
Yeah, something we don't know about.
Well, how about this? I mean, for example, how about like your own like clothes closet? Whether it's my good clothes, my suits, my this that. I need more space for that.
But how many suits do you have?
A lot of suits.
I mean, at some point you got to do a little spring cleaning. A
lot
right?
of like, suits. More than Al Sharpton. A lot of suits.
You're not wearing all that stuff.
Why not?
Where are you going with suits all the time?
For work?
Yeah, I'm sure you got some t-shirts you could throw away. Come on, donate.
You know who he's got to hang out with? The guy in your neighborhood. We got to get those two linked up.
They could go on walks in
the
suits.
Who's the guy in your neighborhood?
There's a guy that walks around in a full-blown suit around Rick's neighborhood.
Yeah,
really?
Shoes. Yeah, in dress shoes.
But you know he's not like walking someplace.
No,
like,
he's just it's exercise.
Like to the city?
No, yeah, right. What if he's a nice guy and he reads to the blind?
No, he doesn't. I watch him. It's his exercise. He puts a full suited and booted and he does his exercise.
What kind of shoes?
Dress shoes.
Dress shoes?
Yeah.
He doesn't come home with blisters?
I don't know. I didn't see his feet.
He's probably going to a podiatrist appointment pretty soon if he's walking around the neighborhood in dress shoes.
I mean, that's like a rabid animal. You don't want to get too close to find out, though, what he's doing.
Yeah, hey, can I see your feet?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Now we say hi to Nick in Rockaway, who is up next on 98.7. Nick, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Hey, Nick.
Good. I've got a long-time listener. I love you guys in the show. Listen, here's the thing that bothered me about Woody Johnson's comments yesterday, all right? I know he said, oh, he feels bad for Zach Wilson, and he could have sat behind a great one. But you look at Sam Darnold. You look at Zach Wilson. The common theme in all that is, where's the coaching? I think it's great that you learn from masters, you learn from leaders, and Rick, I know you were saying you did the same as a player, but where was the coaching for these young guys? I mean, we had young talent. Maybe they were coming in raw. But what did we do to them? And, you know, I think Woody should look at himself in the mirror and say, yeah, you know, we feel bad for this guy, but what more could we have done outside of a guy named Aaron Rodgers?
Well, I mean, you could have started with, and I know we just saw it work, but we could have started with not, you know, putting him with a rookie head coach and a rookie offensive coordinator or having a veteran quarterback to kind of, to you know, help him figure it out or even play to start, you know, to start the season and not rush him if he wasn't ready. I mean, Mike LaFleur said, you know, said as much when he got fired that we probably in hindsight should have left him on the bench and let him learn a little bit.
Well, the other thing too about that, guys, and Nick, thanks a lot for the phone call. Remember also what happened that rookie year, Rick, is that Zach got hurt.
Yep.
And then
Mike White stepped in and had the Mike White game. Then Mike White got hurt, and then Josh Johnson played a half, and then Josh Johnson moved the ball and moved the offense up and down the field. Then it became a theme where there was always that excuse, well, Zach is young, Zach is young, Zach is young, whenever people brought up the struggles, but then it was always a counter with, well, how come every other quarterback that steps in is able to move this offense? Whether it's Mike White, whether it's Josh Johnson, whether it's Joe Flacco, right? And it was always like, no matter what quarterback the Jets threw in there, up until last year, of course, the results with Zach Wilson were lagging behind everybody else. And that was inescapable.
Right. I mean, because most of the time it was Michael Flores. He's not a good offensive coordinator. And then once you have, you know, the opportunity to see what it looks like with other quarterbacks, you're like, whoa, maybe he's not that bad. Maybe this is Zach.
Big news, Jazz hands.
Little breaking news. You want some breaking news?
Oh, I thought you were just playing. Yeah, of course I want
breaking news.
No,
I'm not just going to play a random.
Well, who knows with you?
I'm not even in control of that stuff.
You a hoarder?
Do you want to know who will be playing in the Hall of Fame game this year and when it is?
Oh, yeah.
How about that?
This is big news for John Winthrop, by the way, birthday boy.
Thursday, August the 1st, 8 p.m.
Yep.
Canton, Ohio. Is it Tom Benson Stadium or do they rename it? I think it's still Tom Benson Stadium. I know they added a lot of seats.
I love when
it.
You ask yourself questions.
Well, I was looking for some feedback. Nobody gave it to me. Chicago Bears. Houston Texans.
Ooh.
Get your popcorn ready. C.J. Stroud, not even going to dress. Caleb Williams, no uniform in sight. But you got the Bears. You got the Texans. And you got football. August 1, 8 p.m. Does that do anything for you?
Nope.
Will you watch?
Yep. Of course I'll watch. Can't help myself.
Ray, does that do anything for you at all? August 1st, Bears-Texans.
I'm going to be all hyped up, tune in, and then 2 minutes into the game, I'll be like, why am I doing this?
It's an annual rite of summer.
Right.
Preseason football.
Hey, let me ask you, with all the people that you know, your sources.
Yes, sir.
Associates, as you called them yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
At what point are we 18 regular season games here in the NFL?
Probably within the next, I'll say minimum 4 or 5 years. By the way, I'm checking now for the purpose of, you know, for fans maybe that want to watch the game. Yankees are off on August 1st.
Okay.
Mets. Why isn't this working? Standby. Mets off as well. So Mets and Yankees not playing on August 1st. You can watch football.
There you go. Why wouldn't you watch?
John Winthrop, by the way, chiming in. Bears, Texans, August 1st. Woohoo. Yeah. That's right up his alley. Happy birthday, John.
Dave Kane, hear you, John. You don't have to prove anything.
Yeah. I remember I was driving home once. I think it was one of those years, but it was the Hall of Fame game. Ray might remember. It was Cowboys Steelers was the game. So you had the historical franchises. That was the Hall of Fame game. It was a Thursday night. I was driving back, I think, maybe from the shore or something like that. We went for the day. Put the game on the radio. Think, hey, it's football. Get into the mood. There was nobody in the lineup that I had even heard of before. And I turned the game off in 2 seconds.
You're a big beach guy, huh?
Who doesn't like the beach?
You love the beach.
Yeah. You don't?
No.
No, you're a beach guy.
No, I'm not a big sand guy.
Well, I don't like the sand, but I like the beach. I like the water. I like the sun.
Do you go swimming?
It depends on what beach.
Yeah, I'm not.
Jersey Shore? No.
No.
But I don't want to grow a third limb.
You go down to Turks, you're
oh, you're damn right. I'm like a fish. I'm like Aquaman.
Big vacation guy you are.
That's right. July, baby.
I just the whole preseason thing. I mean, coaches are just like all set with preseason games. They'd rather just do the team kind of scrimmages. More controlled atmosphere, right?
Correct.
That makes sense.
No, but we will, to answer your previous question, we will go to 18 games.
Yeah, well, the only question is, do they wait till the current CBA is up, or is this something that the owners would like to push sooner?
You want some news with the schedule? You want me to give you a little schedule news?
Listen,
I'm in a good mood today.
Okay.
I don't know if it's breaking news variety, but...
Well, this is real, like no one knows this news.
Well, at least it's not public yet. I don't think anybody's going to mind.
All right.
So you know that Christmas this year is a Wednesday.
Oh, yeah.
Right? There will be NFL football on Christmas, even though it's a Wednesday.
You're going to get a Wednesday Christmas game.
You will get Christmas games.
Games.
Yes.
Wow.
On Wednesday, Christmas, December 25th.
So they're just trying to take Christmas right away from the NBA.
Oh, huh? They've done it already.
Yeah.
But remember, there was that because of the leap year, Christmas Wednesday. You say, well, they've never really done games on Christmas or on Wednesday in the NFL. How are they going to be able to do that? Well, they will do it. Again, from associates of mine,
There will be, indeed.
The NFL will do what they want when they want.
Correct. So it'll be a little unique with the scheduling, but they're going to make it work. They're going to get creative, and there will be. So set your appointments now. Christmas Day, you're going to have NFL football this year.
Nice.
Yep.
I'll take it.
There you go. Ira in Staten Island. He's up next. We always like talking to Ira. Hi, Ira. How are you?
Hey, I'm laughing. Wednesday football. It's just a matter of time before you get it 7 days a week.
Get your popcorn and, ready, Ira. Absolutely.
It's just amazing. But I want to get in, first of all, you know, with Woody Johnson's remarks. You know, once the initial shock wore off and then you start thinking about it, it's nothing more than posturing and all about the money. He's trying to eat as less money as possible. So, you know, it is what it is. He won't be in a Jets uniform this year. But, you know, just going back to when he was originally drafted, and unfortunately he got drafted by the wrong team, and, of course, the tragedy of Greg Knapp didn't help the situation. But I go back to when they threw him into the fire right away, and I'll never forget the first couple of practices I got the chance to watch. And they were doing drills with him, and they were trying to change who he was. And that's where this thing started to spiral out of control. Because this guy was out of the pocket, make your plays. I know you can't play like that in the NFL all the time, but you can't expect this guy to go from what he did in college to become a pocket passer, especially when a kid comes from a small program during a COVID year, and he doesn't know how to process a defense. So it's just right from the get-go, it just wasn't handled right. It's unfortunate, and I'll stick with my guns. I don't care. This kid needs to, if I was his agent, I would, I've said this, go to the CFL, get your head right. The game is perfect for you up there. Build up your confidence, and maybe you could be the next Doug Flutie. That's his best path to get back into the NFL.
But see, you know what the problem with that, though, is, Ira? I thank you for the phone call. The reason that Doug Flutie had to go to the CFL, because that was in an era where the small, mobile type quarterback was almost like not even allowed in the NFL, right? Nowadays, it's completely shifted. Like so many quarterbacks right now that are successful and considered some of the top quarterbacks in the league, Rick, they wouldn't even be in the league if this was the 80s, the 90s. Because everybody back then looked for the 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", statue quarterback who stands back there, could scan the field, and throw the ball with a rocket of an arm. Those quarterbacks like Doug Flutie back then, those skill sets, they didn't exist. Charlie Ward never made it to the NFL because, again, if Charlie Ward was 20 years into the future, he'd be probably a successful NFL quarterback.
Right. They were just, I mean, they weren't, they missed the... They were a little bit too soon coming to the party now with all the quarterbacks and the different skill sets. I think that the problem with the CFL for him would be kind of like out of sight, out of mind.
Yes.
I think he's probably better off, finding a team with a really good offensive-minded head coach, learning for a year, and then maybe, another team. That seems what most of these guys do. They go find a really good offensive coach, sit behind that whoever the quarterback is, learn from that coach, and then there's a team that will give them the opportunity to kind of go in and earn a job the following season.
All right, it is time, because it's Tuesday, we got to do a little CMT, RJ.
To cuddle.
I hugged hard bodies the other night.
To marry. Or to trash.
Oh, no, there's real trouble.
That is the question.
Well, before I ask the two of you a question.
Good morning, RJ.
Good morning. What we must do before that is ask ourselves a question.
Canton, Ohio. Is it Tom Benson Stadium or do they rename it? I think it's still Tom Benson Stadium. I know they added a lot of seats.
I love
to
when
it.
You ask yourself questions.
I had no feedback whatsoever. None.
And you were expecting feedback.
I was expecting feedback.
What did you want us to say? You expect us to have that on hand?
Well, like just a Google search. I wasn't going to sit there and go like... Like the meme of the cat hitting the keyboard.
No, it just would have been one of us doing it.
Right.
Right. So we could have shut our microphones off and pressed the buttons as opposed to you doing it?
Like we're an octopus and we have eight arms.
Right. And you have flippers now, apparently, because you're smacking keyboards like that.
It is still Tom Benson Stadium.
Yeah, there you go. He would still appreciate that. Somewhere he's
Dave
looking down, he's happy.
Question.
It was a very Dave question.
Maybe it comes with the chair. Like you sit there and you...
Yeah, let's change chairs. Go move to your right a little bit.
You inherit Dave's qualities for better or for worse.
That's a worse quality, you're saying.
I mean, it's informative. It's just tough because he also won't say anything until we get the answer.
You're right.
He'll just stare at us.
Well, I heard the dead air thing is not good for radio. I heard that someplace.
Yeah, Dave will just ask. I mean, that's pretty on par with Dave. He'll even go more obscure than that. Ask for, like, batting averages, OPS records from 17 seasons ago and stare at us until one of us gets it.
Yeah, or, like, break down the inner workings of the CBA.
See, and here's the thing, because we know Dave's not listening because he told us that he wouldn't, which is not very nice. So he got recognized, by the way, down in Florida.
He did. He's a big star.
Yeah, somebody, really?
Somebody tweeted at us, a listener. Recognized Dave just out amongst the people. But the thing about Dave is he's now listening, so we can say these things. That, I think, shines a light into what his home life is like with Sherry and the kids. Hey, when's the last time we got the oil changed? Stared everybody.
He doesn't even know. He wouldn't have any idea.
But did he engage said person down in Florida?
Yeah, they took a picture.
Yeah, took a nice
photo.
Oh,
they did?
Yeah, we retweeted it at DR on ESPN.
Very nice.
Yes. I texted with Dave yesterday. Having a good time. Ben is playing well. Had two triples. What is today? Today Tuesday? So whatever day. He said yesterday and I texted him. So Sunday, two triples.
Talking about Ben Zobrist?
Yes.
No. Yep.
Ben Rorkvet.
Yeah, both of them. Ben Rothenberg. I believe he's playing in the big boy Wide World of Sports Stadium.
Yeah, tomorrow night, I think.
Look at that. He's a big prospect.
Thrill
big
of victory, time. The agony of defeat.
So, some over-unders are out post-free agency. Well, I should say post-major waves of free agency in the NFL. Never too early to start gambling on these matters. So I have some lines for you, some consensus lines. And I asked the two of you, cuddle, marry, trash, which is most likely to go over? Is it the Jets at 9.5?
Oh.
Is it the Giants, sorry, Dave, at 6.5? Or is it neither? Dan, you start.
Can you repeat the question? I was sidetracked.
Oh, that's... Boy, you are, Dave. You're Dave.
He has no respect for you.
This is all too similar.
At all.
I heard something about over-unders. Jets, 9.5.
Oh, boy. All right, we're cuddle, marry, trash, which most likely to go over.
This is going really well.
Jets over 9.5.
Okay.
Giants over 6.5. Or neither.
Oh, my God.
I can't go first. Rick, go ahead.
What is he doing? You have to go first.
All right, cuddle, marry, trash, Jets over 9.
Did you write it down?
I wrote it down. Help? I'm staring right at it right now.
With a quill, it took him that long.
I will...
You're like Otani's new interpreter, writing down what he said.
He stole the show.
God almighty.
That was nice.
Stole
just
the show.
Just for...
You won't be played under the bus.
Just for optics. I'm writing down what he's saying so I can repeat it to you.
Yeah, he was hard at work. Too bad they didn't have one of those like court people with the typing really fast. Like they could have done that.
Stenographers,
yeah. I'm going to cuddle because I have an investment in the situation. The over 9.5 Jets.
You don't often see the cuddle first.
Yeah, that's unorthodox. It would make sense, though. You do the cuddling first.
Yeah,
and then...
you start.
Actually, you know what? Let me rephrase that. I'm going to marry the...
This marriage is not going to last.
He's trying to single-handedly kill the segment.
Abort.
This marriage is not going to go well.
No.
I will... He's like a
15-year-old. It's the first time he's doing this.
I'm going to cuddle the Giants over 6.5, and I'll trash neither.
So you're marrying the Jets?
Marrying the Jets, yeah.
Oh.
Marrying the Jets, cuddling the Giants, trashing neither.
All right, we got there.
I'm going to be optimistic.
Well, what other choice do you have to be but optimistic? I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to marry the Jets, cuddle the Giants, trash neither.
6.5 seem low.
6.5 seems
pretty low. Pretty low.
I mean, they won six last year.
It's low, right? Because like, remember, the Jets weren't good last year. They got to 7, right? So they got the over 6.5. So I mean, if that's the threshold, it's really not asking a lot.
Yeah, just to get a little bit better,
right?
I mean, the Jets. I mean, let's be honest here. If the Jets don't get to 10 wins, big disappointment.
Huge. No, there's going to be a lot of change if that happens.
Giants just to get one win better seems like a small ask. Let me get your opinion before we move on. Let's say the Giants go under for whatever reason. Daniel Jones, J.J. McCarthy, Drake May, I don't know. You pick an outcome. They go under 6.5 wins. They go 6 or less. Are these guys back next year?
Are they drafting a rookie quarterback?
Right.
Remember we talked about that yesterday. That buys them time.
It does, but I mean... If you only get to 5 or 6 wins even with that rookie quarterback, not a great
one. As long as it's headed in the right direction, As long as there's some glimmer, like late in the season. Like, remember what Eli, I mean, Eli was the number one overall pick, but like, remember, Eli had that good game at the end of the year against the Cowboys, remember, and it was, oh, everything's going smoothly. Not that they were going to bag Coughlin, because that was his first year also, but no, I think as long as there's some semblance of progress, these guys will be back. And John Mara talked about it last or yesterday, that he's still all in on these guys.
Right,
but, until he's not.
Right. I mean, in 2004, when the Giants made that switch, what were they, 500-ish?
Less. They were doing when they made the change. Yeah,
they were five and four, I think, when they went to Eli.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah.
So I mean, they were already kind of established as like a decent team. Now it's just clear like we're about this guy. He's our future. Da da da. But you said it, Dan. They're not in the first year. So I don't know. I think they win five or six games almost regardless of how it looks, unless that rookie quarterback, if they take one, looks really really good. I don't know.
Well, if you want to say like you know. Not all coaches and not all organizations are created equal. How about this? For argument's sake, let's just say that those guys are sent packing after next year. So that would be, what, 3 years on the job? They could be like, well, wait a second. What about the team across town? They're getting 4 years, and we at least made the playoffs in our first season. Yeah. Those guys haven't even had a winning season yet.
Yeah.
And right?
I just looked up that 04 Giants team finished 6-10, so I guess 6 is a nice number.
If they draft a quarterback with the 6th overall pick or move up to draft the quarterback, they will almost guarantee they'll be back.
Yep.
Well, what's dangerous about it too is if you pull the plug on an administration after 1 year like that with a rookie quarterback, how do you know then the next people that you hire were even on board with that quarterback during this whole process?
Especially after what you just did to Daniel Jones too, you think
but
you would learn from
considering
that.
The other stuff that they've done this offseason, the guys that they've brought in, like that seems like a team that's trying to improve right away. Yeah. I don't know.
No, you bring up a good point. I mean, the timeline gets all out of whack. That's a problem when you separate cycles from GM and head coach. Right. Then they're on different timelines and quarterback now.
Other thing, too, is like, all right, let's use the reset the clock angle. What guys right now on this Giants team do they have to lock up long term that they haven't locked up already? Like, I mean, like critical core players right now. They took care of the left tackle. They took care of Dexter Lawrence. Okereke is still under contract because it's only his second year as a free. Like, who else are you is a keepsake that you say you cannot lose?
You just signed Burns.
Right.
There isn't one. No, I think the risk you run is if you don't draft the quarterback and you start making decisions like the one to move off of Saquon Barkley and then let him go to, not let him, but he ends up with the Eagles. I mean, that doesn't seem like something that John Mara is overly enthused with, but he believes in Joe Shane. If you make decisions like that the owner really doesn't love, but he's, you know, I'm paying you for a reason, so I believe in what you're doing, and then there's no result, and they don't draft the quarterback, if they win 5 games and they didn't draft the quarterback, I might be with RJ. That might be a little bit, seat might be a little warm.
Well, it's a nice transition because yesterday on NFL Network, Tom Pelissero said this.
When I've had conversations here with executives for other teams who know Adam Peters well, know the situation well, the most popular answer for what they do at number 2 is J.J. McCarthy. So a lot of drama still to come.
Just like Mac Jones. Just like Mac Jones had this situation.
That last reference when Adam Peters, who came from the Niners, the reports a couple years ago, they had the infatuation with Mr. Mac Jones. So I asked the two of you, beginning with Rick.
Do you wish they would have drafted Mac Jones or did the Trey Lance thing?
Did the Trey Lance thing.
What reason, though? You didn't think there was enough upside with Mac Jones to do what it took to get
Mac Jones might have blown up the locker room, too, because he's hated.
Yeah. At least Trey Lance seems like a good guy. Yeah, but I mean, would you
have been a pleasant person to be around if they made Joe Judge and Matt Patricia your offensive coordinators?
You're telling me that Matt Patricia doesn't know offense?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. So, Rick, Carter Murray Trash, with all the reports and rumors flying around, who will be the second quarterback off the board? Will it be J.J. McCarthy? Will it be Jaden Daniels? Or will it be Drake May?
Oh. That's a good question, RJ. It's a good question.
Thank you.
He's a professional.
He is a professional.
A lot of time for Dan on the back end, too.
Wow.
That's a shot. Right in the ribs. Felt it.
Well, no, it's in the back end is where the shot would be. I'm going to marry Daniel still. I'll marry Daniel's Cuddle McCarthy trash. Aww. Trash mate.
Wow.
You disagree with that?
No, I think I agree with it, but I think that's where we're at. I remember all of us were talking I don't know, it doesn't seem like that long ago, maybe a month ago, about J.J. McCarthy being, should he enter the draft? Now he could go too.
I don't want to sound like a hater.
Well, you heard did you hear Antonio Pierce talk about him?
What did he say?
Like he's, I mean, the guy's a national champion. He's, what, 27 and 1 as a starter? Loves him. Why wouldn't he be a top three pick?
I don't see it, man.
Jim Harbaugh just said he had the best pro day he's ever seen and is the best quarterback in the draft.
What else is he going to say? I mean,
yeah,
that's,
well, what do you expect Jim Harbaugh to say?
You want to swing at Jim Harbaugh. Trade Justin Herbert and draft J.J. McCarthy.
Do it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
By the way, we're going to find out how good Justin Herbert really is this year because Jim Harbaugh basically took out every talented player around him on offense, and it is going to be 3 yards in a cloud of dust if he has it his way. Him and Greg Roman running that offense this year.
Good. That means I can finally stop hearing about how great he is.
Wow.
Stop accomplishing.
That's fair. Accomplish nothing,
dude. Guess what? We're speaking the same language. Seriously, I'm with you. I'm gonna marry Jaden Daniels. I'm gonna cuddle Drake May, and I'm gonna trash J.J. McCarthy. This is nothing more than a smokescreen. We hear this crap every single year in the lead up to the draft.
Why would the second overall pick be sending out smokescreens, though?
No, meaning that they like this guy so much that they're going to take him second overall.
Yeah, but that they don't need to. Caleb Williams is going with the first pick. They have the choice of the rest of the quarterbacks, unless they want to trade the pick.
Yeah, they must be.
Well, that could be an option, too.
Sort of
remember, you do have
pick.
A new regime there.
You think they're just trying to cause chaos behind them?
Absolutely. Yeah, right.
Just for fun?
No. Yeah, because nobody wants to tell them anything. Nobody wants to tell anybody anything of substance. That's why.
Why are you putting up the smoke screen? I don't know.
Seems like fun.
Chaos. Yeah, because why not? Anarchy. It's fun in the NFL draft.
Adam, who are you taking?
First of all, you believe these people? Like, see, anything that they tell you. You know how many times? Remember once upon a time, the great Peter King, he was supposedly, like, best friends with Brett Favre. He didn't even get the exclusive when Brett Favre was retiring, like, all these 50 times. Then he felt so betrayed. You think that there are actually any of these executives that have any debt to the media people? Anything whatsoever?
No,
I feel like Dan Quinn would embrace the chaos.
No, I don't think so either. But, I mean, Caleb Williams is definitively going one.
He's gonna have a locker before the draft.
Yeah, and so the point is just that they're not fooling anyone. Hey, Adam, who are you taking? J.C. Latham? Why? I don't know.
Because I can. That's why.
Are you lying? Don't tell me what to do.
Yeah, I'll do what I want. Shut your mouth and write the article. Report what I tell you. But you have the second overall pick. You can choose anyone. It doesn't matter.
I don't own you.
You don't know what I'm doing.
You don't know what I'm doing.
By the way, you're listening to DiPietro and Rothenberg on 98.7 ESPN, WEPN-FM, New York.
That's nice right there.
That was nice.
That's a legality nice, right there.
All righty. UConn.
Oh.
Men's bracket. Clearly the best team left.
They're good.
Yep. But my question to the two of you, back to Dan. If you had to cuddle, marry, trash the biggest threat to UConn, how would you do so among the other 3-1 seeds remaining? That would be Purdue, North Carolina, and as they call it around here, Houston.
Nice.
Localization's important.
I am going to...
That's what I've been told.
I'm going to marry Purdue.
Ooh, wow.
Because number one, they could score. Number two, they have size with Edie. Going to cuddle North Carolina. They can also put the ball in the basket with their options. And I'm going to trash Houston because I don't trust Houston's offense. You can't stop. And Houston's got an unbelievable defense. You can't stop UConn. You can only outscore them. And I don't think Houston has enough offensive punch to be able to do it.
Really?
That's right.
Wow, look at you. RJ does not agree with this. RJ is sworn off Purdue. He's a big Purdue guy last year.
Yeah, Purdue got me. And the problem is I actually like Purdue, but I told Dave like 2 months ago, if I submit a bracket to you with Purdue winning it all, please don't take my money and throw my bracket in the garbage.
Well, you know what's different about Purdue this year? And I'm right there with you, but their guards are different than last year. Last year, they were doing it with baby guards. This year, they're a little bit more developed, and that's why they're playing more effectively. They get into trouble, though. If once these, because they haven't had any close ones yet. Like, once they get into a close game, and it might even be next round, who knows? But the problem is they're going to start feeding Edie the ball. Because they did this during the regular season a couple times that got him in trouble. When you just keep pounding him the rock late in the game, the guards might check out. And that's where you get into trouble.
And March Madness, as we know, is a tournament driven by
the gods.
That's right.
Now, here's the question, RG. Do I stay true to my bracket when answering this question?
Like, I think you have to.
What's in my best interest?
I mean, you're right there.
I am right there.
You're in striking position.
Oh, man. That would be so nice.
You Dock and Brian.
It'd be so nice, yeah.
Is this a three-way financial split also? Are they just like 10% contributors?
Yeah, there'll be no financial. Maybe I'll take them for a nice dinner afterwards. But
oh, they're purely consultants.
Yeah, consultants.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I pay them on an hourly basis. They're not involved in the winnings. All right, I am going to. I got to stay true to my bracket here, don't I? All right, I'm going to marry.
Come on, bracket integrity.
I'm going to marry Houston, cuddle Purdue, trash Carolina.
Take that, Alex Rothenberg.
Let's keep bracket integrity.
All right, finally.
I got Arizona beating UNC.
So do I, actually.
So do I.
So
you got a fakakta answer then.
What are you talking about?
Your answer stinks.
Well, there wasn't an option.
You should have trashed UNC if you got them losing. How are they a threat? They're not even playing them.
But you gave me only options as one seeds.
Right, but if your one seed's going to lose before they would actually have a chance to play
UConn. Doesn't matter.
UConn,
they're not going to beat them anyway, so what's the point?
They can't be a threat.
Houston's not going to get there either, so it's almost like I can't trash two of them.
You stink.
I'm kind of there with you on Houston. I could watch them win a game by like 60 and be like, I don't know, they could lose next round.
Well, look at what happened last round. Yeah. They almost got picked off. They lost by like 800 points to Iowa State in the Big 12 conference tournament.
Tough loss to come back from 800.
Yeah.
Good for Kelvin Sampson rallying the guys.
Yeah, just that's a big
by,
one.
Just lost by 800, fellas.
That's real coaching there. Right there.
So, Dan, finally.
Yes, sir.
It's just for you. So your name's been thrown around, whether you know it or not. I think you found out yesterday. In terms of joining Rick's team for picking MLB, as we do every year, division winners, playoff teams, MVPs, Cy Youngs, etc.
Well, what is the whole, like, joining Rick's team? That's the thing I'm a little cloudy on.
Well, here's the thing, because we've turned it into a team event. Typically, it's just Dave and Rick making their selections for the Major League Baseball season. And at the end of the year, we evaluate. Rick wanted to turn it into a team event where we bring in more minds. Widen the room, you know? So, Cuddle, Marry, Trash, we're going to need your answer right here. What you'd like to do? Would you like to join Rick's team? Would you like to go opposition and join Dave's team? Or do you think both of them would actually drag you down in terms of your knowledge and join no one's team?
What's the incentive?
Be careful, dinner. Winning team gets dinner.
Yes.
I could get dinner anytime I want. I have dinner every day.
It gets paid for.
For free.
Free dinner, Dan.
I don't mind paying for dinner.
Oh, look at you.
I think he's going to marry. You're both going to drag him down.
Exactly. That's a given.
He's not going to be invited back.
That's a given.
Well, yesterday when we broke.
Well, I technically haven't been invited. So how can you be invited back if you haven't been invited once?
Well, no, I mean, to host the show. You're out.
Oh, well, then that's your loss.
Well, I mean, really. Well, I can live with it.
I can live with it, too. I mean, like I said, the show loses. I don't lose anything.
No, you lose.
How do I lose?
Because don't you like competition?
What's competition?
What do you mean? It's two teams going at it head-to-head, baseball knowledge.
I'm comfortable with my baseball knowledge. No. I don't have to get into a competition with some yo-yos.
He thinks we're all yo-yos.
It's unbelievable.
In the most endearing way, though.
You are becoming Dave with each passing moment.
Yeah,
more
maybe.
It's a chair.
Maybe. Too, sitting in that chair.
Yeah, but I think, because again, the rules and all of these things are kind of cloudy and hazy to me. Like, I don't see where the gain is for myself.
Well, it's team camaraderie. You're a part of the team. And it's also, if you win and you can swing your baseball knowledge around, you get a free dinner.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing about joining a team, as far as, like, this show is concerned. Like, I'll go back to Dave's March Madness bracket. I basically was the last person invited to join the bracket pool.
No.
No, you sure?
No.
Stand by.
Did you do it last year?
No.
Well,
that's my point.
Why didn't you do it last year?
I was not even asked.
Well, that's on Dave, not me.
Well, there you go. Well, I'm just saying. So there you go. I'm reading the texts. Last Wednesday. Okay, so that was a day before the like real tournament started. You already had playing games that were underway. I get a text last Wednesday from Dave. Not sure if you wanted to join the March Madness pool. If you do, let me know. And then he said, I didn't want to presume. And I said, I'm almost insulted that I wasn't thought of from the beginning. Like literally 5 seconds before they threw the ball in the air to start the tournament, I was asked to join the pool.
Well, that's on him. Don't take your frustrations with him out on me. And also remember, he's lazy. Like, so if you weren't in it last year, he wasn't going out of his way to send emails to everybody else. This is like a here's an email, tell your friends if they'd like to join.
But doesn't that then factor into the whole discussion about joining a team, joining a baseball pool, joining all this other stuff?
No,
because it's show related. You got to stand by the show.
Okay, but listen, who slighted you? Me or Dave?
So are you almost apologizing for Dave?
No, I don't have to apologize for Dave because the
But
options...
you said it was a slight.
Okay, listen, but you're not understanding here. The options are you could go neither, which would be punishing both of us. Could be Dave, which would make no sense because he didn't include you in the pool. Or would be the obvious choice, me, to get back at Dave for not putting you in the pool. Seems like a very easy marry.
That is conniving.
That's the incentive.
It's evil. Right. And I love it. I didn't think of that angle.
Of course you didn't.
Wow, that Ray, you know what that is? That is like poison. That is like Palpatine poisoning the mind type stuff.
It's a beautiful mind is what it is.
Wow.
Ten steps ahead of you.
I didn't know you had that source of evil in you.
I got all sorts of stuff in me.
Feel some of it's your better left unknown. Anger.
Palpatine.
Come to the dark side. I love it. I love it. Here we go, RJ. I am marrying Rick.
Yes. Welcome aboard.
Oh, you see, my eyes are turning red as we speak.
Yes.
They're like demonic glows.
Wow, so Team DiPietro has made an acquisition.
Yes, we have.
I am cuddling nobody.
Wow, Dave right in the trash.
And I am trashing Dave. Feel your anger. It is your destiny. Come to the dark side.
All righty. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Just my trash.
Woo! I've never felt more free.
We did it.
Oh! Love it. Thank you. I legitimately have to thank you for that.
I'm just here to help, Dan.
You know what that was? That was cathartic. It was evil as all hell, but it was cathartic on my standpoint.
Whatever it takes to get you on my side, my team.
That is a villainous grin that you have on your face right now.
Oh, it is. We have to have these picks ready to go by Friday, by the way.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
My picks are done already. You know this.
No, but yeah, I know. But we have to go. I mean, I think we should have
Wait a second. Does that mean I got to come on the show Friday?
No, I'll do the picks for us, but we have to make sure we get together because Raymond's also on our team. The three of us have to make sure we're in agreement with these picks. This is not just the Dan Grosser show.
Oh, Ray's in on it. Ray, you're in on it too?
Yeah, he's on our
team. Yeah, I'm with you.
Who's on his team?
It's Dave and RJ, two fantasy baseball nerds.
So it's three against two, though.
Well, yeah, because Ray wasn't really overly into it to begin with.
Ray, why aren't you into it?
Well, I don't know if you know this, but there's other things going on that I got to pay attention to. Can't really get tied up in the baseball outside of the New York angle. I can pay attention to the Yankees and the Mets. That's about it.
I thought he meant like he's a recovering Shohei Ohtani.
No, can't do that.
Oh. No. And he also doesn't have 6.5 hours to do a fantasy baseball auction draft.
Like I don't do fantasy. I think fantasy's fugazi.
Right, but Dave did a 6-hour auction fantasy baseball.
Fantasy sports is right behind the gambling.
An auction is a little bit different.
Fantasy sports in general is right behind the betting in terms of like the evils of sports. Right behind
it. I don't get the fantasy angle. I don't. The obsession with it. I mean, I get it if you're
like
15
football.
And you have no life, but...
Stop. Fantasy football's good.
Not for me.
Goes against being a fan.
It does.
Yeah, but what if your
team
stinks? I mean, at least it gives you something else to root for if your team stinks. Keeps you engaged.
I guess.
Let me stop you guess.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.